are joined today by Kathy Kelly. She is a longtime peace activist with Voices for Creative Nonviolence. Let's first just talk about the situation in Yemen. I know that they have been impacted by COVID-19, and especially since Yemen has already had one of the worst humanitarian situations in the world due to the ongoing Saudi bombing.
Well, yeah, it's the Saudi bombing and also significantly the blockade, because and using these littoral combat ships, which are able to go up along the sides of coastlines, the Saudis have blocked all of the coastal ports. They've blocked the major airport, so that the area where 70% of the people live, which is the area controlled by the Houthis, has been under a blockade now for close to 4 years. And this has been certainly exacerbating the conflict in terrible, terrible ways. People aren't able to get fuel. They're not able to get food. Food prices then go up. People have been unable to get anything close to what would be needed for healthcare. So over half of the hospitals and healthcare facilities have closed down. And right now, UNICEF issued probably the most worrisome recent report. They said that millions of children will be pushed to the brink of starvation if massive amounts of funding aren't made available. And at this time, when, as you mentioned, you know, COVID-19 is likely to ravage the lives of people in villages and communities, cities where they don't have health care, what President Trump and the U.S. administration decided to do is cut back on funding from USAID, and then the World Food Program had to cut back because they were running out of funds. And what this does is make people in Yemen almost like hostages to wealthy groups like the Saudis, who can say, you need money, we'll host a fundraising event for you, you know, and we can raise loads and loads of money, but you'll have to accept our will or bow to us in order to get that money. And so it's almost like holding people hostage in this very, very desperate situation.
In the midst of this, this past Thursday, Donald Trump went to Wisconsin and went to the Marinette shipyard in Marinette, Wisconsin, to praise the contract for making these littoral naval ships for the Saudi Navy. Can you talk a little bit about that visit and those ships, and what does that mean?
Well, the littoral combat ship is something that the United States Navy had been purchasing from the shipyard in Marinette and from other places. But then the U.S. Navy decided, you know what, we really don't want that ship any longer. And it was setting its sights on a new frigates. They hadn't bought any new major destroyer ships for 10 years, but now they had a desire to start building up the United States Navy fleet to reach at least 355 ships so that the United States could threaten certainly China and Russia primarily in the seas. Well, so that ship hadn't been commissioned yet, this model for a new kind of ship. And the shipyard in Marinette was possibly going to go without any jobs and would even possibly have to shut down when Lockheed Martin made a proposal to the United States Navy to create four of these littoral combat ships, not for sale to the U.S. Navy at the end of the line, but rather for the U.S. Navy to then sell them to Saudi Arabia. Why does Saudi Arabia want weaponized ships that they can use that will go right along the coastline? It's the kind of ship they've already been using to blockade Yemen. And so, you know, when legislators in Wisconsin say, oh, please, please give us the contract for the next generation of these warships, that's meaningful work for people in our state. It's valuable work for people. What is so meaningful and valuable about creating these lethal ships to sell to despots in the Middle East or to further provoke the possibility of a hot war with Russia and China for the future ships that are going to be made. So I really admired Lisa Savage in Maine. I asked her, well, what do you think? You know, Bath Iron Works in Maine really wanted that contract for the Navy ships that the U.S. Navy will build, these new, they call them multi-mission surface ships that can simultaneously attack ships at sea and places on the land and submarines. Like, this is this great new ship that's cheaper and faster than the ships they had before. And Lisa Savage just said quite simply that it's not success, it's not a win to gain these kinds of contracts, that the United States groups that are manufacturing weapons of war are holding the United States back and holding us to a time that's where it's just not viable for industries all across the United States to be dependent on war and weapon making. And particularly in a time of pandemic, we're seeing the need for interconnectivity and the folly and the futility of continuing to wage these wars.
And I noticed that this contract to make these ships will add 1,000 jobs to the facility in Marinette, Wisconsin. But what would be the difference if they decided to manufacture something else in these shipbuilding facilities, like, alternative energy, clean energy systems?
Well, again, Lisa Savage has done quite a lot of research on the possibilities of more jobs being generated if shipyards, for instance, were to be creating things that were good for people, that were contributing towards sustainability. And even Bath Iron Works in Maine, since the time of the pandemic beginning, has figured out a way to manufacture some materials that can be used for protective equipment. I mean, certainly the idea that Lockheed Martin, with all of its billions and billions of dollars, could say, we're going to be very serious now about investigating ways to develop high-speed transit facilities, about investigating ways to examine the housing stock in the United States and figure out how to retrofit it so that it's going to be reliant on sustainable energy, or harvesting wind energy, or making different kinds of ships that could be used for civilian purposes in the United States for transportation. There are all kinds of ways that scientists could devote themselves to helping us cope with the greatest threats we face, which are certainly climate catastrophe, and now living in a time of pandemic and the potential for nuclear war. But our situation is so beholden right now, with elected representatives constantly saying, we can't keep ourselves in our positions, we can't keep our industries going if we don't beg the military-industrial complex to pick us, choose us, give us your contracts, because that's what the United States manufactures these days. You know, it used to be maybe that people made weapons so they could fight wars, but now we're in the business of looking for wars or waging wars so that we can make weapons. So it's especially terrible with regard to the ships that the Fincantieri Marinette shipyard right now are making for the Saudis, because it sends a green light to Saudi Arabia. It says to the Saudis, you know, when push comes to shove, the United States will continue sending armaments, will continue kind of giving a thumbs up. And then, of course, for this next contract that they've now gotten, to build this, like a destroyer ship, but they call it a frigate. If they're successful, then there's the option to build 10 more ships. So yes, that will bring jobs and funds and additional support economy into the shipyard in Marinette. But I think what we ought to all be looking at is this presumption that these are valuable and meaningful and good jobs for people to have.
And is there anything that people can do if they feel compelled to take action on this issue? Is there someone they can call? Is there a website they can go to get involved?
Well, I've been very appreciative of the Twitter account of a professor from the University of Southern Michigan. Her name is Shireen Al-Adeni, and people could Google her or go to something that I've written about Yemen in the past and find Shireen, Dr. Shireen Al-Adeni. And along with her, she's from Yemen and studied at Harvard and now is a professor in Michigan. Along with her, there's a woman named Aisha Juman who lives in Seattle, and she has a website for coordination of distributing food and medicines, and she's been doing it in as a grassroots organization, and she's an epidemiologist and travels to Yemen at least once or twice a year to help coordinate this food distribution. And again, if her name is Juman, Aisha Juman. I greatly respect the work that she's doing. I also think that it's important to stay in touch with what the Friends Commission on National Legislation is writing through Hassan Al-Tayyab. So that's FCNL.org. And if anybody wanted to be in touch with us at Voices, we do hope to do a walk from Green Bay, Wisconsin to the Marinette shipyard. We're not sure with the pandemic conditions when that might happen. I also sometimes think, you know, it's an appropriate time to certainly go to General Dynamics or Raytheon or Boeing or Lockheed, all these companies that are making enormous profits from selling weapons to Saudi Arabia. And perhaps it's a time to begin fasting, long-term vigils in New York. If anyone is ever heading to New York or has relatives in New York, every Saturday at 11 o'clock, people gather from various groups in New York, organized by the New York Catholic Worker, to have a vigil regarding Yemen. The same is happening in Boston, Massachusetts, Massachusetts Peace Action, and the Raytheon campaign have focused on Yemen. Another thing people can do is organize webinars and ask people to speak, people like Shireen Al-Adeni or Aisha Juman or Hassan Al-Tayyab, all very available and very eloquent speakers with regard to the issues affecting Yemen.
Well, thanks very much for those resources. We'll also post them on the KBOO website, kboo.fm, and Aisha Juman's website is yemenfoundation.org. Thank you, Kathy Kelly, for joining us today on KBOO and sharing this important information about the situation in Yemen and the current plan for the contract, the Marinette Shipyard in Wisconsin, to build frigate naval ships for the Saudi Navy that will then be used, I'm sure, to attack the civilians in Yemen. Thank you for joining us, Kathy.
All right. Thank you, Jinka.
This is Jinka Soderberg reporting for KBOO News.